The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Lord, be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Almighty God, your Son came into the world to free us from sin and death. Breathe upon us the power of your Spirit, that we may be raised to new life in Christ and serve you in righteousness all our days, through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Please be seated. So I have two parts of the children's sermon today. And for the first part, I'm going to sit right here and ask you kids to come right over here. Because you saw, did any of you see me get something from Miss Gale during, as I came up the aisle?
No.
I leaned over and I whispered to her. What did she give me? Yeah, she gave me something.
Tissues.
She gave me tissues. I said, do you have any Kleenex in your purse? I forgot that I wanted to share these. What do you think when I asked Gail if she had any Kleenex or tissues in her purse, what do you think I needed these for? What did she think I might need them for?
Crying?
For crying? Do I cry in church? I do sometimes, don't I? Well, you know, I thought you were going to say to blow my nose or to if I had some sniffles. I would have to use that. Or maybe I saw some of you needing a Kleenex, because sometimes I look out and I see children and they could use a Kleenex. So maybe that was what you thought. But it really is, what I wanted to talk about is wiping away tears. We use tissues sometimes to wipe away our tears. But now I want to ask you a really hard question. What would make you cry? So let me start over here. What would make you cry? Oh, wait, have you ever cried? Have you cried? What made you cry? Why would you be sad? Because you weren't able to go to Disneyland one more day? Would that make you sad? Oh, would it make you sad if you if your mom said, no, you cannot wear those shoes to church. You have to wear your dress shoes. You can't wear your sneakers. Would that make you sad? Sometimes when somebody tells us we can't do something, that might make us sad. But another time that we get sad is when somebody dies, and we get sad because a funeral, because we're going to miss them. Today, in your story at Sunday school, you'll hear about a funeral that Jesus went to, and he was so sad, he cried. He didn't have Gail's tissues.
No.
He cried. He had his friends, Mary and Martha, there, and he cried with them because it was their brother who died. So you'll hear the story. But, okay, that's sermon number one. I have another sermon. A story that you won't hear today because you'll be in Sunday school is the reading from Ezekiel. Ezekiel was a prophet, and God said, I want you to tell the story to the people that in a way that they will understand that God gives life to us. God gives life to all of us. And so God took Ezekiel out into like a cemetery or a place, a field filled with bones. And God said, pray that these bones have life again? And the prophet Ezekiel said, golly, only God knows that. And God said, bring the bones together. And God's going to put skin on them and muscle in them and blood in them. And then God blew breath in them and they were alive again. Every time I hear that story from the Bible, I can think of one song. Anybody? Bones them, dry bones them, bones them, bones them, dry bones them, bones them, bones them, dry bones, hear the word of the Lord.
No.
Okay, stand up. I want to do this to you.
No.
Stand up. Stand up.
No, that song,
okay, now you have to help me sing. The foot bone is connected to the ankle bone. The ankle bone is connected to the shin bone. The shin bone connected to the knee bone, hear the word of the Lord. The knee bone connected to the hip bone connected to the backbone connected to the neck bone, hear the word of the Lord. The finger bone connected to the wrist bone, the wrist bone connected to the
elbow bone,
the elbow bone connected to the
shoulder bone,
hear the word of the Lord. Shoulder bone connected to the neck bone connected to the head bone connected to the face bone, hear the right. So we'll all be thinking that song when we hear that reading, and you'll be talking about Jesus at a funeral. We'll talk about that later too. Yes, you may. Did you get it?
The name Ezekiel sounds familiar.
Ezekiel. Okay. Did you get the Bible, please?
I know.
Do you know this?
Ezekiel speaks. The hand of the Lord came upon me, and he brought me out by the Spirit of the Lord, and he set me down in the middle of a valley. It was full of bones. He led me all around them. There were very many lying in the valley, and they were very dry. He said to me, "Mortal, can these bones live?" I answered, "O Lord God, you know." Then he said to me, "Prophesy to these bones and say to them, 'O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God to these bones, I will cause breath to enter you and you shall live. I will lay sinews on you and will cause flesh to come upon you and cover you with skin and put breath in you and you shall live. And you shall know that I am the Lord.' So I prophesied as I had been commanded. And as I prophesied, suddenly there was a noise, a rattling, and the bones came together, bone to its bone. I looked, and there were sinews on them, and flesh had come upon them, and skin had covered them. But there was no breath in them. Then he said to me, 'Prophesy to the breath. Prophesy, mortal, and say to the breath, Thus says the Lord God, Come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe upon these slain, that they may live.' I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath came into them. And they lived and stood on their feet, a vast multitude." Then he said to me, "Mortal, these bones are the whole house of Israel. They say, 'Our bones are dried up and our hope is lost. We are cut off completely.' Therefore prophesy and say to them, 'Thus says the Lord God, I am going to open your graves and bring you up from your graves, O my people, and I will bring you back to the land of Israel. And you shall know that I am the Lord when I open your graves and bring you up from your graves, O my people. I will put my spirit within you, and you shall live, and I will place you on your own soil. Then you shall know that I, the Lord, have spoken and will act." Word of God, word of life. A reading from Rome. Psalm. Let us pray Psalm 130 responsively. Out of the depths I cry to you, O Lord. If you were to keep watch over sins, O Lord, who could stand?
Yes,
wait for you, O Lord. My soul waits, and your word is my hope.
My soul waits.
Israel, wait for the Lord, for with the Lord there is steadfast love. With the love there is plenteous redemption. Reading from Romans. To set the mind on flesh is death, But to set the mind on the Spirit is life and peace. For this reason, the mind that is set on the flesh is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's law. Indeed, it cannot. And those who are in the flesh cannot please God. But you are not in the flesh. You are in the Spirit, since the Spirit of God dwells in you. Anyone who does not have the Spirit of Christ does not belong to him. But if Christ is in you, though the body is dead because of sin, the Spirit is life because of righteousness. If the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will give you life to your mortal bodies, and also through his Spirit that dwells in you. Word of God, word of life.
Thank you. Please be seated. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. Glory to you, O Lord. There was a certain man named Lazarus who was sick. He was from Bethany, the village of Mary and her sister Martha. This Mary is the one whose brother Lazarus was sick, and she was the one who had anointed the Lord with perfume and dried his feet with her hair. The sisters sent word to Jesus to inform him, "Lord, the one you love is sick." Upon hearing this, Jesus said,
"The sickness is not to end in death. Rather, it is for God's glory, that through it the Son of God may be glorified."
Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus very much. Yet after hearing that Lazarus was sick, he stayed on where he was for two more days. Finally, he said to his disciples,
"Let us go back to Judea."
"Rabbi, with the Jews only recently trying to stone you, you are going back up there again?"
"Are there not 12 hours of daylight? If a man goes walking by day, he does not stumble, because he sees the world bathed in light. But if he goes walking at night, he will stumble, since there is no light in him. Our beloved Lazarus has fallen asleep, but I'm going there to wake him up."
At this, the disciples objected,
"Lord, if he is asleep, his life will be saved."
Jesus was speaking about his death, but they thought he meant sleep in the sense of slumber. Finally, Jesus said it plainly,
"Lazarus is dead. For your sakes, I am glad I was not there, that you may come to believe. In any event, let's go see him."
Then Thomas, that name means twin, said to his fellow disciples,
"Let us go along to die with him."
When Jesus arrived in Bethany, he found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb for 4 days. The village was not far from Jerusalem, about 2 miles, and many Jewish people had come out to console Mary and Martha over their brother. When Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went out to meet him, while Mary sat at home. Martha said to Jesus,
"Lord, if you had been here, my brother would never have died. Even now, I am sure that God will give you whatever you ask of him."
"Your brother will rise again."
"I know he will rise again in the resurrection on the last day."
"I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he should die, will come to life. And whoever is alive and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this?"
"Yes, Lord. I have come to believe that you are the Messiah, the Son of God, he who is to come into the world."
When she had said this, she went back and called her sister Mary.
"The teacher is here, asking for you."
As soon as Mary heard this, she got up and started out in his direction. Actually, Jesus had not yet come into the village, but was still at the spot where Martha had met him. The Jews who were in the house with Mary, consoling her, saw her get up quickly and go out. So they followed her, thinking that she was going to the tomb in order to weep there. When Mary came to the place where Jesus was, Seeing him, she fell at his feet and said to him,
Lord, if you had been here, my brother would never have died.
When Jesus saw her weeping, and the Jews who had accompanied her also weeping, he was troubled in spirit, moved by the deepest emotions.
Where have you laid him?
Lord, come and see.
Jesus began to weep, which caused the Jews to remark, see how much he loved him? But some said,
he opened the eyes of that blind man. Why could he not have done something to stop this man from dying?
Once again, troubled in spirit, Jesus approached the tomb. It was a cave with a stone laid across it.
Take away the stone.
Martha, the dead man's sister, said to him,
Lord, it has been 4 days now. Surely there will be a stench.
Did I not assure you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God displayed?
They then took away the stone. And Jesus looked upward and said,
Father, I thank you for having heard me, but I know that you always hear me. But I have said this for the sake of the crowd, that they may believe that you sent me.
Having said this, he called out loudly,
Lazarus, come out.
The dead man came out, bound head and foot with linen stripes, his face wrapped in a cloth.
Untie him and let him go free.
This caused many of the Jews who had come to visit Mary and had seen what Jesus did to put their faith in him. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
There is no binding as tight as the one we bind for ourselves. Others may strap you into the seat or use restraints on your hospital bed, but we are never so confined by bindings with which we confine ourselves. There is no binding so tight as the one we bind for ourselves. I like to fly in an airplane. I like to fly. But a lot of folks don't. Many people find it just too confining. You stand in line waiting for security, then you stand in line waiting to board the plane, then you stand in line in the aisle waiting for the person in front of you to stick that way too big bag into the overhead compartment. And then when you find your seat, it's in the middle and you're really confined. As you are stuffed into that seat and you're really stuck. Many people find flying too confining. They just hate being bound and they're really uncomfortable. But there is no binding so tight as the one we bind for ourselves. Lazarus, the friend of Jesus and the brother of Mary and Martha, had died. Word got to Jesus that his friend was sick and that he should come immediately. But Jesus was in no rush. He stayed 2 days longer in the place where he was before he set out for Bethany. So by the time he arrived, he found that Lazarus was already dead. In fact, he had been dead for at least 4 days, bound in a shroud, hands and feet and face covered with strips of cloth, a binding that everyone presumed would never come loose. Who could do anything for Lazarus now? He was bound with burial wrappings and was laid in his tomb. But Lazarus wasn't the only one bound. There are others there too who were bound. Martha, the sister of Lazarus, was bound with anger. She was mad at Jesus because he hadn't come sooner. And she was angry at herself, too. If I had only sent for Jesus sooner. If I had only gone myself to get him and bring him back. If I had only done this or if I had only done that. If only. Martha was bound by her anger and by her guilt. I don't think that's such an uncommon emotion. We too often guilt ourselves with hindsight that we should have, we could have done more, done this, done that. We feel guilty. We bind ourselves with guilt, with anger, with anxiety. There's no binding as tight as the one we bind ourselves. Mary, the other sister, is also bound. She's bound by grief. When Mary heard that Jesus had come, she got up quickly to go and talk with him. And everyone saw that as she went, she continued to weep. So powerful was her emotion, so profound was her grief, that it even moved Jesus to tears. Mary had friends around her, consoling her, but there was little relief. Mary was bound up in her grief. She was consumed by that grief. All she could do was weep. She had friends around her, but still she felt alone. I know what that's like, and you probably do too. We get so wrapped up in our grief that we can think of nothing else, and we cannot unbind ourselves. There is no binding as tight as the one we bind for ourselves. But then Jesus commands Lazarus to come out of the tomb. And as he does, he is bound in burial cloths. And the words of Jesus ring out, "Untie him and let him go free. Unbind him and let him go." Now, Jesus didn't need to say that. He didn't need to issue that command. He could have gone over to Lazarus himself and unwrapped him and put his arms around him and pat him on the back and welcome him back from the dead. But Jesus didn't do that. Jesus invited the crowd to get involved, to play a part in this miracle that was taking place in front of them. And I think the same is true today with us. We are called not only to witness to God's action in our lives, but to be changed by that action, to be changed by what we see, and to be involved in what God is up to in the world. And so today, as we hear this good news that Jesus is the resurrection and the life, those who believe, though they die, will live again. Lord, as you have unbound Lazarus, so unbind us all and empower us to participate with you in the miracles of unbinding others. Unbind us of guilt and anxiety. Unbind us of grief and depression. Unbind us of addictions and disease. Unbind us of all the things that keep us from you, and bind us together in your love. Amen.